Day. It's welcome to the Context Machine. It's episode 689. I'm Brian Chaffin.
And yes, you are.
I'm a little embarrassed to admit that at this point, but you know.
Yeah, and I'm Jeff Gamet. You just met Brian Chaff, and this is my cross to bear. hey, go check us out on our website if you want, contextmachine.io.
Yep, you can use contextmachine.io to reach out to us, or you can find us on Mastodon at Context Machine, or on Blue Sky at contextmachine.bsky.social.
That's awesome. Also awesome, we have a sponsor today. That would be MacPaw and Clean My Mac for MacPaw.
That's excellent. We're going to tell you more about them later in the show. But before we get to that, I feel like we should talk about Slow Horses because it's back, man.
It is. And we have... three episodes out now? Four? I have lost track.
That was episode 3 of season 5.
Okay. And as they say, holy forking shirt balls. I'm amazed, and also not, but amazed that they've been able to maintain the quality that we got in season 1 all the way into season 5.
That's fair. Yes. Yeah. They have maintained the quality of the show for sure. I don't know that I'm really surprised by it.
Well, I'm not surprised. Okay, this is why I said I'm surprised to not. I'm not surprised because we already know the quality of this show. The surprising part is there are so many shows out there where we get a strong start or a strong second season, and maintaining that momentum is difficult to do. But
I feel like seems, Apple has a good track record of that.
Actually, you're right. Apple does have a good track record of that. We have Slow Horses. We have Ted Lasso, although some people disagree with that.
Well, but Foundation. Some people would be wrong to disagree with that.
I agree. Yeah. I think they did a great job of maintaining the quality and the drive in I hate when I forget the name of a show, and it was so good. The
Mythic Quest, the one, Foundation, C,
the one with you have your innie and your outie.
Ah, yeah, you're right. There's only been two seasons of that.
Right. Why am I not remembering the name of that show?
I am very, very cleverly, I like to say, not. I'm covering for the fact that I can't remember it.
Oh, this is driving me crazy. I love that show. And what is wrong with me?
Oh. Yep, same. I can't remember it. So let's just move on. But yes, the second season was probably even better than the first, and it was very different.
It was very severed. It was very different.
Severance, right?
Severance. There we go. Severance. Holy crap. I know some people did not like the ending of second season. Some people didn't like general.
I thought the ending was terrific. Well, no, I
thought the whole season was really good.
I didn't like the choice that the one of the characters made.
I understand what you're saying, and I won't elaborate because spoilers.
Yeah.
And for all of you that now have incredibly sore throats because you've been screaming severance at us.
Sorry about that.
I do apologize. So, and since it's all about Brian, I blame him.
That's fair. An interesting thing to me is that I've liked Foundation. I believe that when we were talking about Foundation at first, I was saying that I like the show, but I'm not loving the show. That was for the first season. And then the second season, I just fell in love with it. And the third season has been absolutely amazing. Who is it? Marty Knox? Who's the Buffy person that came on the Foundation? Buffy.
The Buffy person?
Yes. Producer, I think it's Marty Knox, Foundation. Let's make some sausage here. Jane Espenson. That's who it is. Not Marty Knox. Jane Espenson. Jane Espenson was one of the key producers on Buffy, especially in later years when Joss was being, you know, torn between his other shows and stuff. She came on as a consultant, I believe, in the second season, and she came on as an executive producer, maybe even the showrunner in season three. And I firmly believe that all of the reasons why season two and season three were better than season one were probably Jane Espenson.
Okay. And I am not in a position to argue with you on that because I never got beyond season one of Buffy.
I accept your apology. I just started rewatching season one of Foundation for the first time. It's my first rewatch. And I am enjoying the crap out of it the second time around.
So my perspective was, I think my enjoyment of season one was higher than yours because I just straight up loved season one.
I like season one and thought it just kept getting better.
I should go back and start over and just watch all the way through again. I haven't done that.
That's what I'm doing. I'm watching it with a friend who hasn't seen it. And, I am loving season one, so much more the second time around.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Since we're now in stream of consciousness, I recently rewatched Firefly.
Mm.
And I haven't watched that in years, and I loved Firefly. Like somewhere in a box, somewhere in my place, there's a bunch of DVD box sets, and Firefly is in that stash. Absolutely love the series. Watching them in correct order, not the rando original airing order that was done.
Yep.
And it is so much fun to watch that again and see things that you wouldn't pick up on otherwise, and things that have different meaning now that you've seen everything, and then there was a movie, and you see how stuff ties into that. And yeah, I think there can be a lot of pleasure in going back and rewatching a series like that, whatever the series is.
Yeah. And it's been a while since I've done it, but I've watched Firefly several times, start to finish. I mean, it's, you know, it's 13 shows.
14 shows. I know. I did that only because you're mostly pedantic. Yeah,
I am mostly pedantic. That's fair. So anyway.
You know what I could do?
What?
If I'm rewatching, I could go back and rewatch season one of Silo. Because I basically hate watched that season.
Mm.
I did not like the show. There were elements that I liked, but overall I'm like, oh, this is horrible. And then we get to the end of season one, and then I'm just furious because now I want to see season two. And I've enjoyed Silo since.
Oh, good. So back to slow horses, which is ostensibly the topic.
Oh, right, right. Slow horses.
Sorry about that, folks. I have enjoyed this season. I absolutely adore Roddy Ho.
He just infuriates me.
He is
with every breath he takes, which is great because that means the actor's doing a wonderful job of bringing this character to life and eliciting that emotional reaction from me.
He is epically awful.
Oh, he's yes.
I mean, and don't get me wrong. Jackson Lamb, who's played by, of course,
Gary Oldman.
Gary Oldman. He is also epically awful, but he's epically awful in a much infinitely different way than Roddy Ho. I believe I've made no secret that I've started reading the books that Slow Horses is based on. Mm-hmm. After like I got to the end of season one when Slow Horses first aired and was like, oh my god, I've got to find out more about this. This is based on books, and it's like, oh my god, these are based on books. Yes, they're written by McCarran. And I devoured all of the books that were out before season two came out. And I think the last two books have come out since the TV show started. And that includes the most recent book, which was released just in the last, I think, 6 weeks or so. I had pre-ordered it and was just like, I'd forgotten about it. And it was like, you know, your new McCarran book is out. It's like, yes. Anyway, the new one's called Clown Town. As awesome as the actor and the writing that makes up the TV character Roddy Ho are, mm-hmm. the writing in the book is infinitely more awesome.
That's saying a lot.
Think about it this way. Be in Roddy Ho's mind.
Oh, which we really don't get to experience.
Right. You don't ever get to really experience being in someone's head the way you can in a book. And Roddy Ho's brain is everything you would expect and want not to have.
All right. I guess I need to start reading the Slow Horses series.
Yeah, they're really, I mean, there's like 9 books. So, I mean, that'll take you until what, 2035?
Probably. Hey, just so you know, and I'm glad you're sitting down. I have one book left now in the Expanse series. Hmm.
You're ahead of me.
Wow.
I read the first book years before the TV show came out and haven't, I've been intending to dip back into them and have not.
I really enjoy that book series. I'm bummed that the TV series didn't get to keep going because where it ended, I know where that is in the book series. Mm-hmm. And so I know what they would have been doing next. And it's like, oh my God, we really missed out on some more amazing storytelling for the TV series.
Yeah, that's fair. Did I talk about the Will of the Many on this show?
Yes.
With you?
Yes, you did. Yes.
I was still reading it though, wasn't I? I don't think I'd finished it.
Yeah, I think you're correct. You had not finished.
Yeah, that book was it ended fantastically, and that man, James Islington, absolutely turns things on dimes. And that book was constantly taking me to places I was not expecting.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, I mentioned free association
because I'm mentioning that because I'd opened up the books app to catch the name of the newest Slow Horse's book, which is called Clown Town. Yeah. And then that's where I saw The Will of Many. So just okay. Just explaining my free association.
Yeah. All right. Well, and I'm going to toss some more free association on top of that. For everyone that isn't up on current events, the Kickstarter for the anthology collection that you are in, Brian.
Yeah.
Neosynthesis. You exceeded your goal. Neosynthesis.
Yes. We hit our goal. We didn't hit our stretch goal, but we almost doubled our original goal. So thank you to everyone who backed us. And we're working on getting the book out right now.
I am looking forward to mine being delivered.
Thank you. I appreciate that. So to summarize, so far, what we have so far is that season 5 of Slow Horses is terrific. Gary Oldman is terrific. Roddy Ho is terrific. I don't think River's been terrific so far in this episode, in this season, so far.
Well,
he hasn't really featured much.
Yes. Okay. That's a good way to say it. Also, you keep saying Roddy Ho.
Yeah.
For everyone else, the actor is Christopher Chung.
Excellent point. Diane Tavener is, as always, riveting.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Shirley, I forget Shirley. I forget what her last name, the character's last name is, and I don't know the actress's name. She is also really come alive in the books. In my
opinion. Shirley Dander, played by
yes.
Amy Fifion Edwards. I'm not sure how to pronounce that part of her name.
I don't know.
So her first name is Amy hyphen F-F-I-O-N. Fifion or just Fion?
Okay.
I'm not sure.
And Louisa is terrific. Catherine Standish is amazing. All of these characters are terrific. The writing is terrific. The TV show is terrific. And the books are terrific. Just loving them.
Yeah, this is awesome. All right. I guess I'm going to have to pick up Slow Horses. The All books. Right.
Excellent. They're relatively short reads. They're like I think the new one is like 260 pages. It's not too long.
Okay. Okay. Cool.
All right. Hey, Jeff, can you tell us about MacBall?
Hey, actually, Brian, I would love to do that. Yay. Because, First MacPaw is an awesome company and they're sponsoring us. Thank you for that. But here's the deal. Clean My Mac has a new feature in it called Cloud Cleanup. And what I love about this is that we have become very reliant on cloud services for file storage for all of our devices. And what Cloud Cleanup does is it goes through your cloud storage for iCloud and OneDrive and Google Drive and figures out where all the cruft is and helps you eliminate the stuff that you don't need, which means that potentially you may find that you've been paying for a data storage tier that's higher than what you really need. So you could even save some money with that. So I think it's absolutely awesome. And I love that a company that just loves the Mac the way they do is taking such care to write apps like this that give us so much value.
Yes.
So thank you for Cloud Cleanup in Clean My Mac. And so here's the deal. All of you, if you're not using this already, you do need to try it out. So what you need to do is just go ahead and get your Mac tidy today. Try 7 days for free and use the discount code TheContextMachine, and you're going to get 20% off when you actually make your purchase. So here's what you need to do. Go to CLA. clnmy.com. So that's like clean my, clnmy.com/thecontextmachine. And then use the code context machine. So you get 20% off your order. Plus you're going to get 7 days for free just to try it out. So thank you to Clean My Mac and MacPaw for being our sponsor.
Yep. We appreciate it and we love that product and we absolutely encourage you to check it out.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. We have, you're going to go into a pen show.
My very first pen show ever.
Yeah, the Denver pen show. Is that correct?
Colorado pen show.
The Colorado pen show. Got it. So
yeah, apparently this is one of the big shows around that's in the United States. It's not big like some of them are, but from what I've been reading, it's supposed to be a good size show.
And I thought it would be interesting to talk about your expectations before, like you've never been to a pen show.
And I have not.
And I've been to two. So that makes me an expert. I've been to the same one twice. But in different years. So yeah, I'm an expert. And to be fair, I have also talked with a guy who is a major dealer at these shows about all of the pen shows for years. So yeah, it certainly in terms of you and me, I'm an expert.
As they say, in the land of the blind,
qualifiers.
The one-eyed person is king.
Yes, qualifiers are important. So anyway, I thought we could talk about your expectations before you go, and then we can compare notes after you go.
Okay, that actually sounds awesome. I would love to do that. First off, I was surprised to find out how inexpensive it is to go to a show like this. It's $10 a day.
Yeah.
That's it. If you want to go to sessions, you pay for those individually, which actually is kind of cool because then really you're only paying for what you actually want out of the show.
Right. Right. And you're comparing that experience to Macworld, I'm assuming.
Macworld, CES, all of the other conferences that we have gone to over the years.
Right. That's fair. So I don't even know if I have anything to say about that.
Well, I'll let you know if I feel differently afterwards. But here's my expectation. I want to go and just be exposed to parts of the pen community that I would not otherwise experience, and to just simply learn, because I totally get it. There's so much about fountain pens that I don't know, and the pen show, it's not just fountain pens. It's all kinds of writing instruments. Correct?
Yeah, but it's
a big part of it's fountain pens.
A massive part of it's fountain pens. I don't recall seeing a single. I'm sure that there were some ballpoint pens and mechanical pencils. I know that there's mechanical pencils because a lot of the older fountain pens are sets.
I did not know that.
Yeah, they're pen and pencil sets for sure. And there will also sometimes be a fountain pen with a ballpoint set. So I'm sure that there are some ballpoint pens there, but I've never noticed them.
Yes. Okay. So the real focus is fountain pens.
Yes.
Which is perfect because that's what I'm really interested in learning more about. I went to hold other pens. I went to see how they feel when I write. I went to experience different paper types that I haven't had access to yet. I went to try different inks. I figured this is an event where as I'm going to the different vendors, there will be opportunities to try things and then ask them questions.
Yes. Yes, there will be. I don't know how much paper. I don't recall. I'm sure that there is some stationery stores or stationery dealers that are that are displaying. My eyes were definitely for the pens. So I hope
that makes sense.
But there's definitely ink there too.
Well, you know, even if there's not a lot of pens or journal, or excuse me, paper or journals to try out, that's okay.
There were definitely, okay, now that you say that, there were a ton of journals. And there's okay. Also the shop that sells merch, that, you know, like shirts, including
okay.
The My Pen Is Huge shirt.
Yep. Okay.
And folks, if you need to write that out so that you get the joke, feel free.
Yeah. Also, I apologize for Brian.
Yeah. And
Brian, even if there's not a lot of paper for me to try, that's okay, because Two Hands Papery in Boulder is the place on the Front Range to go to experience journals and paper.
There are probably more paper dealers. There are probably more people that are selling paper than I was aware of. Now it's like now that you mention it. I'm sure I saw more than I was paying attention to. I definitely had my eyes on the pens. And so your pen dealers will be, you know, there will be people who are making new pens, like the wooden pen that I showed you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are completely newly fabricated pens. And then you'll have the Mont Blanc dealers. And you will have the other new pen dealers, and you will have the antique pens, the people that are focusing more on the pens that were released between, you know, 1920 and 1955. That seems to be the big area. And then you'll have a few people that are selling Victorian instruments.
Okay. So I'm going to get exposed to a lot of different types of pens.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I want. Because my pen experience in the fountain pen world so far, really it's been the pens that were left for me by a friend who had passed away. Mm-hmm. And then there's the one that I bought off of Kickstarter. And then I also bought a pilot of, how do you pronounce it? Kakuno?
Sure.
The starter pen, where they even etch a little smiley face on the nib.
Mm.
And yeah, which was great, because it was an inexpensive pen and a great way to learn whether or not I actually enjoyed fountain pens, so that I could then decide if I need to start investing in nice inks and learning how to take care of the other pens that I had. And now here I am going to a pen show next week.
Right. Right. So I certainly hope you enjoy it. I'm actually confident that you will enjoy it. I'm also confident that you're going to make more of the show than I tend to.
Well, we'll see. So, all right. Well then,
I need to go to the show with you to make more of shows like this, just because of who I am as a person.
Why don't you come out and we'll go to the pen show together next week? And
I would love to. The problem is, and let me make sure I've got my notes here. I have to leave the house.
Oh, I always forget about the little details.
I'm somewhat kidding, but yeah.
Yeah, but I should try more inks, because the pen that I carry in my bag, the titanium pen, that one only uses cartridges. And so the cartridges that I've been using in that are Kawako.
Okay.
And because I had some and tried them.
You could get the delivery system changed out.
In this pen, no. What I could do, though, is add in O-rings on this one and then just fill the body. But this one, I can't do that. But
no,
I did that.
They could put, someone could put another system in it.
It would be too small. The only reason I know this is because I've been following this very discussion on some online boards.
I see.
And,
okay, then let's just take that out so that no one knows what an idiot I am.
No one thinks you're an idiot, Brian. We're laughing with you. Okay, I'm a horrible person, and I apologize. No, but actually, I did what you're saying. I did that with the Pilot Vanishing Point, because when I got this pen, it had it just had a dried out cartridge in it, and so I ordered a replacement converter. That's the right word?
Yes.
So I ordered a converter for it and learned how to use that. And so now I refill my converter myself on a very regular basis because I write with this pen a lot. Hmm. So, but yeah, I mean, it's pretty cool being able to have the option like that. So do you have advice? And I realize I'm saying this right after you said, you should go to a pen show with me so you get a different experience. And here I'm asking you, would you have any advice on like strategies for how I approach the showroom floor when I get in there? Or should I just do what I always do when I go to conferences?
So my big advice is to have a budget and stick with that budget. Because
that seems fair.
I am confident that you could find things that you want at a pen show. Things that you don't even know that exist today and that you're going to see them and you're going to want them. Now, I also realize that you're a more disciplined person than I am, and you're a lot less likely to just, you know, spew money. But you should, anyone going to a pen show, if you like pens, you should have a budget and be committed to not going over that budget unless you can afford to go over that budget.
In which case, then you set a different budget.
Yeah, fair enough. The other thing is that there will be, I don't know how many vendors are displaying, but you could miss a lot because you get bogged down in just checking out a few things because, you know,
okay,
you could be going down rabbit holes constantly, especially if the dealer is a person who, you know, can communicate well. So you ought to keep in mind as you're going from vendor to vendor, how many more vendors there are for you to see and how much time you have to do it.
And, okay.
And, you know, and keep that in mind as opposed to just like letting it happen to you.
Okay. That makes sense. Now I'm planning on going the first day. So that would be Friday. And the first half of the day is just the classes and workshops. Mm-hmm. But then at 4 in the afternoon, that's when the public part of the show really opens up.
Right.
So that's 4 to 8. And so I figured 4-hour window to go through and experience everything. If I feel like I haven't accomplished everything I want to, I can still come back on Saturday or Sunday.
That's fair. And you will probably want to. So, I mean, like I say this, The last two times I went to the San Francisco Pin Show, I went mainly to show my buddy some support. As a matter of fact, I didn't want to spend money on pins, and so I was trying not to look at a lot of pins. So I would, I checked out all of his wares, of course, and we hung out and we shot the poop.
Yeah.
and then I left. If I was going to go to each of the vendors or most of the vendors to really check out what they're showing, I would want more than 4 hours.
Okay. Oh, and I just realized that after the expo floor wraps up on Friday evening, that one of the some organization called Fountain Pen Day, I don't know if it's a company or a group or what, that tells you how little I really know about all those people. They're doing a meetup after the Expo 4 closes on Friday.
Oh, cool.
So that'll be great. That'll be some socializing.
Yeah.
Okay. So Brian, socializing, what that means is when you're at some location, which could be in your home, and other people are there and you interact with them.
Interesting. An interesting notion.
I know. It's kind of a new thing. It might catch on. It might not. So I don't know. You might want to just kind of like watch from the sidelines and see how that plays out.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. So I hope you have a blast, and I look forward to hearing your report of how it went. Is that this weekend or next weekend?
This is next weekend. So the show is October 17th, 18th, and 19th. So I'm going on the 17th.
Got it.
Hey, if any of our listeners are going to the show, look for me. I'll have stickers. I'll have Context Machine stickers with me.
Oh, excellent. You have some of those left?
I do. I had to get a few more because, didn't want people at Max Stock to go away without a sticker this year. And so I still have some from that.
You're a good person. All right. I think that's going to do it for the show.
Oh, well then hit buttons and make sounds happen.
Okay, let's do this one. And then let's say that's it for this week's Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, you can write us at contextmachinepodcast@gmail.com. Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly. The bass is by Dr. Boom, recorded just for the show. And that's all for this week, except for Jeff saying,
hey, everyone, thank you to Max Stock for being our sponsor and the cloud cleanup feature and Clean My Mac. Head over to clnmyCleanMy.com/thecontextmachine and use the code Context Machine to get 20% off when you buy Clean My Mac. Also, you get 7 days for free. And seriously, thank you for being our sponsor. You rock.
Yep, indeed. Thank you, everybody, for listening.